Welcome to the Rock.
Hey everybody, thanks for downloading this episode of the Black and Gold Podcast, brought to you by Z-Box Mattress. It's the end of basketball season here, and everybody was a little tense during that NCAA tourney game. We needed a good night's sleep after that. Well, guess what? You can get even better night's sleep, even though all this stuff is over, and you're kind of sad about it, by going to ZBoxMattress.com and getting one of their great products. They have pillows, any size mattress that you need, different firmness levels, plushness levels. You're not going to go wrong with it, folks. After we're done, Charles and I were just talking about how tired we are from just kid exploits from earlier today. I'm going to go to sleep on a Z-Box mattress. I'm going to get a great night's rest. I'm going to be very refreshed tomorrow. You should be too. Use promo code Black and Gold when you get to the website, and you'll get 10% off your order. So go to ZBoxMattress.com right now. Check them out. Materials sourced in the U.S., made in the U.S., delivered directly to your door, owned by App State grads, huge supporters of App State sports, but most importantly, you're going to sleep better. I'm here, as always, with the world's most famous App State fan. He is Big C. What's up, Big C?
So what I'm doing for the first time since last week, AJ, besides dreaming of sleeping, obviously, is looking at our box score from last Thursday night. Yep. I have yet to do that.
Yep.
I'm scared, but I'm not scared because I feel like I know what happened, you know?
Yeah.
So you're going to get a little bit of instant reaction, I guess you could say. But
yeah,
I feel like a lot of things have happened since last week.
Yes.
And kind of a wild week in sports. Some highs and some lows for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously I think the highlight is certainly getting to play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
However you look at it.
Yeah, there was just there's just a certain buzz in the air for being able to play in the greatest tournament that exists in sports today. I believe that. I mean, it's what is it, 68 teams now? And it's going to come down to the team that goes through the gauntlet, just doesn't lose, you know, just kind of an old school, no ties. You're either going to win or go home, you know. And it's so fun to watch even as a casual observer, but for our team to be in it. And, you know, we had Coach Kearns on twice in the last 2 weeks, and just the hype and excitement and the experiences that our guys got to go through, you know, it was just really awesome. But our brand is on CBS. It's on, you know, it's on cable. We're having different outlets analyze our chances and stuff. And so that's just a really cool thing. And came up short, but it's still great to be part of. So before we get too far into the show here, I want to let's talk about that after. I want to cover baseball first.
All right.
Let's do that because I think we'll end up talking about the basketball season as a whole, probably, and get touched on that a little bit. But let's start off with some and you know, usually I like starting off with like the quote unquote bad news first, but I don't know if I'm going to call, you know, make it to the NCAA. Losing the game is bad news. I don't think the season was bad news. So
it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. So let's table that for a second. But I do want to mention baseball. Now, baseball, we had mentioned this, it was a big time skid, and we recorded last Tuesday. We had just come off a 14-5 victory against A&T for the 5 billionth time, and I think the fifth time this year playing A&T. And both you and I have been saying about the baseball team. Got to get our offense going. You know, we have a starting pitching issue past Tuthill and Martinez, but we really need to get the bats going because we were anemic the last two weekends during our 6-game skid. But, you know, scored some on A&T. So, Charles, we opened the Sun Belt Conference season against Arkansas State, and we scored a little bit of runs, didn't we?
We did score some runs. It took us to get to the weekend to do so.
Yeah,
but we scored runs because Friday night, unfortunately, not at that game because it is a long way back from Indianapolis in the Bloomington area, and was just exhausted. But still, we pulled it out. We had a 5-4 victory that kind of had a little bit of drama late, I guess you could say.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Arkansas State, I think, hit four. Did they hit four solo home runs in this game? I don't think they actually manufactured any runs.
They hit three. They hit three solo home runs.
Three, okay.
And
okay.
Two sacrifice flies.
Ah, okay, okay. So I was keeping up with this coming across Abington and Mountain City as best you can with cell service there. But anyway, we kind of touched on that. But, hey, we got through it. They scored a run in 7th, 8th, and 9th. And, man, that insurance run that we got in the bottom of the 8th came through huge mm-hmm. to give us a 5-4 win and a somewhat of a low-scoring, kind of a calm win.
Yep.
Not a lot of offense, 6 hits on each side. But we got what we needed from the pitching staff,
mm-hmm.
Tyler Tuthill. And that's the theme of this weekend is what the pitchers did.
Yep.
Tuthill goes 7-4 hits, only one earned, kept the walk down, 5 Ks. And then Noah Hall gets a save, a 2-inning save.
Yep.
He gets 5 Ks. So we struck out 10 of their batters, mm-hmm. only walked one. That's huge. And Tuthill threw 111 pitches in those 7 innings.
Yeah. That in the college world, that's really good. And shout out to Noah Hall. I know he got the Sunday start. No. Did he get the Sunday start? Or did he get the actually, hold on. Let's before we jump too far ahead here, I want to get props. So something that I always think is, when you got a pitcher go past 5 innings, when you're going deep into the game, 7 full innings, he gave up 4 hits and 1 walk. You know, there's a stat out there that I think does a pretty good job of encapsulating a pitcher's effectiveness. It doesn't tell the whole story, sure. Like no stat really does, but the WHIP, the walks and hits. Per innings pitched. So Tyler Tuttle, threw 7 innings, but basically gave up 5 walks and hits together. So that's less than 1 walk or a hit per inning. And that is the key.
That's really good.
If you're a pitcher. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That means that not every inning anybody's getting on base by any means. So just another really strong performance. Clearly our ace, clearly having a really great season so far. Everybody's going to get banged up here and there. Everybody's going to have a bad start, but he has been really reliable as our Friday night starter. Now Saturday, thankfully we pulled out another victory here. Quentin Martinez, we'll just cover the pitching right here off the top, man. 8 innings pitched, 7 hits, 1 walk. So that's an even, one you call it the WHIP is 1, 7 hits plus 1 walk, 8 innings pitched. That's really good. And in college baseball, if you go 8 innings and give up 3 runs, that's a good sign. That you're going to win a lot of games doing that. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, 109 pitches in those 8 innings. That's pretty tidy.
Yes.
You got guys, it's starting to warm up out there, really. These starts for these pitchers are coming with this past daylight savings time. The sun is not going down at 5:38 anymore in the evening. So they're able to kind of stay out there a little bit longer. I think that has a little bit to do with it.
Yeah.
But this game, for me was really highlighted by, Luke Drumhiller's home run kind of really broke it out. I can't remember if it was in the 5th or the 6th inning. We scored back to back innings, 5th and 6th with 3 runs each. But otherwise it was pretty tight there early on. And then Arkansas State got a couple back in the 7th to kind of inch closer, but we kind of slammed the door. A clean game fielding as well. That's something that's what we've really been good at this year. I think we're the best fielding team in the Sun Belt. That's how you continue to compete in games, is not give away free bases,
yep.
free runs,
yep.
and things of that nature. Something we'll probably talk a little bit more about last night's game here in a few minutes.
Yeah. Free bases, man. Limit the free bases. And you're going to give yourself a chance. And that goes with on the hitting side too. Try to get free bases, work the pitcher, and that's something that I've been wanting our team to do, to swing the bats a little better, generate some offense. And this series, they came through. Sunday, a huge win, 12-2. We, got that old fashioned Little League mercy rule, didn't we?
We did, in the late one, not the early version, but
yeah.
this was an ugly game. We jump on them with 5 in the second, 4 in the sixth, and really cruise. You knew from the start that Arkansas State was having one of those staff pitching days. And man, they were just, they did on Saturday, they started with people in the bullpen. That tells you a little bit. And we did too, for that nature, for whatever it's worth. But on Sunday, they didn't put anybody in the bullpen. They just tried one guy down at a time, one catcher down at a time. Maybe a coach went down. So they knew who was pitching. They just didn't know how bad they were going to, you know, how bad it was going to be. And they had a couple of guys get rocked pretty bad. 13 hits, 12 runs. That's good stuff. And not much life from Arkansas State on Sunday. But we had two beautiful days up at the Beeve. And it was just fun to watch that team start off in conference play 3-0 because we've had teams capable of doing this, and maybe they haven't. But this is a bad Arkansas State team. And what we needed to do, as much as like we want to say that a 2-1 is what you strive for, you're going to go 0-3 on the road sometimes. We need to get 3 wins. I'm not sure if Arkansas State's the worst team in the league, but a 3-11, 3-12 record certainly looks like that. They won last night over Murray State. So that gives them their 4th win of the year. But still, that was in a low-scoring game, a 3-1 game, which is kind of hard to think that someone can only score one run against that pitching staff is something else. But we did lower their ERA. That was something they could have to improve on. But we also played 2 shorter innings on Sunday. We got out of town after, in what would have been the middle of the 7th with a 12-2 win.
One of the things that when you had that, head cold or whatever it was, and Tristan came on BGP, we talked about how, you know, our batting averages as a whole, you know, slipping well below 300. Well, we got several guys now that are either above 300 or hovering right there. So a good weekend like this to you know, see guys hitting, get that contagious, you know, confidence on offense. And we really have just – that has been what we've missed, you know, in the last, 5 years. You know, we can find those pitchers. You know, we can get good performances and have some key pieces in the bullpen, but we really need a consistent lineup that's putting runs on the board and bailing our guys out. Because if you're banking on one area – of your team to just always perform, and you got to pick them up sometime. So I'm really happy and encouraged to see the bats going 3-0 in Sunbelt. Sunbelt's one of the best baseball conferences in the country. We say that all the time, but it is. It's true. It's a great baseball conference. So to go 3-0 is great, really encouraging. What wasn't great is we go down to Kannapolis in the that new facility they have down there for the – did they change their name? Or they're something else. They're not the
– Yeah, they're no longer the Fightin' Dale Earnhardts or the Intimidators. They're now the Cannonballers, which is kind of an ode to Cannon Mills and all that good stuff. And it's a brand-new park, so it was the first live game last night. That was in that new park, and so the home teams, so to speak, got the win. But it was, you know, that game was really kind of the difference between taking advantage of your situation and not,
right?
Because you can look at the scoreboard and say, and how you are, they're going to say, Big C, how are you going to make 15-5 sound good? When Charlotte had runners on, you know, they got them around, and we combated it with some ugly errors. But in that ugly second and third innings that really decided the game from there, they had a bunch of those like random hits, you know, liners down the first baseline, down the third baseline, a couple of soft things that fell in and turned into be doubles because they had runners on and you know, the wheels were turning. But we had just had some pitchers who just, you know, we just couldn't get any outs there for a while. But otherwise, we played the game pretty straight up. So a lot of the damage was done in 2 innings and all that. But, I mean, Charlotte had 18 hits. We only had 5, but scored 5 runs. So we're manufacturing, I think, probably better. I mean, easily Charlotte could have put up a lot more. But both teams really, I mean, we left 13 on. They left 9 on, still scoring 15. So, you know, one way or the other, it could have been a little bit tighter, and that's just one of those deals. But we just didn't have it last night, and that's, I think, was what our midweeks are going to become. I'm not saying we're going to get beat like that every time, but and maybe Charlotte's not as good as beating us 15-5. They've played some teams pretty close, but just didn't work out for Ben Peterson and Jason Kornhauser last night, and that's just how it happens. Our pigeon staff threw 195 pitches last night. That is a lot. And Charlotte actually threw 208. And somehow, and this is what's crazy with all the guys we left on, is they usually the team that throws more pitches,
yeah,
like loses.
Well, yeah, and they walked us 12 times. We walked three
which is
batters.
Insane.
Yeah, but I mean, we were making up for that with finding their bat. We were hitting their bats. We weren't hitting them in the batter's box.
and we couldn't, like, we couldn't connect that, like, next one. So yeah. you consider five hits, but, you know, 12 walks, you know, your opportunities are there.
Yeah.
You're just not getting the hits when you need them. And Charlotte did get the hits when they need them.
You know,
that gave them the win.
And baseball's funny too, because you know how, like, when you're building the campfire, there's certain things that you throw in the campfire, the fire that actually burns up kind of in a brilliant light, and it burns up really fast, and you're like, whoa, hold on a second, but then it goes away, right? And then there's the different type of, you know, wood that you put on there that's a slow burn. You know, it's consistent, doesn't really, you know, it doesn't set on fire instantly, but it's going to be a slow burn, and you can adjust it. You have time to, like, you know, fix your fire. Man, this is why pitching is important, because if you don't have a reliable starter for every day, and I'm not talking about you don't need an ace every day. I mean, that's impossible. That's not how that works. But if you don't have a guy that's like your midweek guy, or like if you don't have a reliable even Sunday guy, and you're having to mix and match and find who is your guy, what ends up happening in baseball, if you get a pitcher up there that just isn't your starter, you know, is not the guy that can be reliable, I guess, or hasn't found his groove or whatever, it's kind of like when you throw like a paper towel in the fire, just kind of like woo, and then all of a sudden you give up four runs. You know, you're like, hold on a second, whoa, we're in a bad situation. We got three men on, we got bases loaded, no outs. Well, holy cow, you know, what do you do? And that's why reliable pitching, you got to have it. And as good as Tuthill and Martinez have been, and then Noah Hall looks like he's throwing the ball real well, so maybe he's going to be the Sunday starter, man. I don't know. I'm still, you know, I haven't heard anything, obviously. Maybe I could ask some questions once in a while, but I'm not convinced that, you know, maybe Cole Hooper is just hurt and he's just out of it and whatever. But I mean, we saw him last year throw really well. Mm-hmm. So there's an arm on that team that we have seen get it done. But we're really needing that right now, because you put enough of those guys out there that can burn fast and all of a sudden put you in a hole. Like, I'm looking at the line here, Jason Kornhauser, you know, four runs, three hits, wild pitch, you know, that. And then all of a sudden you're like, he didn't get an out and he gave up four runs. And so baseball is funny because you have to have – somebody's got to throw the ball to the plate. Somebody has to. Mm. One guy's got to throw it. You can't, you know, there's no.
And you can't just throw it straight over the plate.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure they're missing it.
Yeah. And there's no trick play. If, you know, if your quarterback's hurt, you can run the ball. You can pitch the ball. You know, like, you have to throw the ball over the plate. You have to. If you don't have some reliable guys at the top to help your bullpen out a little bit, it's tough. And so I think we're going to struggle there for a little bit unless somebody steps up and does it. Do I think they can? Absolutely, I do. But we haven't seen that yet.
So you consider, you know, the fact that we walked 12 times, but we also struck out 14. And mm-hmm. that's another mm-hmm. kind of a sign of, like, hey, you didn't get it done. I mean, you strike mm-hmm. out 14 times, take a walks away.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. More often than not, that's, you know, that's going to be tough, because that's over half the outs.
Yes.
You're out at the plate and mm-hmm. you're not making them make a play in the field.
Yeah, putting pressure on the defense.
But we battled a little bit. I mean, both teams used seven pitchers and their starter went four innings.
Mm-hmm.
So they used six guys in the last five innings. So there's something to be said for that. It's just we didn't hit it like they did last night. You know, not to say that I'm not disappointed. I was certainly disappointed. And it stinks watching some games like that happen. But for every 15-5 game, you're going to have a 14-5 game.
You are.
That's why in baseball you play so many, is because this stuff happens to even the professionals all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's just us going out there and having a tough game every now and then. And so we're 10-9 right now and 3-0 in conference play. It's the most important part. From my standpoint, our focus really should be on the weekends.
Yes, I agree.
That's what's going to give us a better chance to have a better seed in the Sun Belt tournament, advance, and play fewer games. You play fewer games in a tournament style, you're going to have more arms. You have more arms, you have a better chance to win. So that's really the goal. Now, this weekend's going to be tough because it's going to a place we don't really fare well at. Yeah. Very often, Georgia mm-hmm. Southern is tough for whatever reason. We just can't play down there very often, very well. But Southern took one on the chin last night. It was a walk off. They were walked off by Clemson, I believe. I think it was a home run because they won 6-4. So, and Southern's not been like that much better. They're kind of having a very similar kind of a season right now. They are 10-9 as well, but they lost 2 of 3 last weekend to Troy, and that was on the road. We do share a similar opponent with them. ECU went down to Statesboro and won 2 of 3, whereas we were swept when we went to ECU. So
yeah,
and a 3-game losing streak as well for Georgia Southern out of the weekend.
Hate it for them.
What's that?
I said I hate it for them. Hate their
ass. I'm not mad. not mad at all, but both teams' RPIs are kind of like in the 90s right now.
Yeah,
ours is actually 81. So we improved because Charlotte's played a few pretty good teams, and Georgia Southern's is 93. We'll see where that takes us from there. Mm-hmm. What would you want this weekend, AJ? Like, if you had to, you know, besides just saying, "Hey, we want 3 wins," what would you consider this a successful weekend, considering? Our past with Georgia Southern in baseball.
Win the series, right? A sweep is a lot. Take 2 of 3. I'd love to see that. And I'd also like to see some progress, you know, on Sunday. You know, maybe Noah Hall is the guy. Maybe he's the guy that's going to take the ball. He's been so valuable, you know, elsewhere, but maybe he's the guy that can carry the load on Sunday. But, yeah, I think – winning a series, you know, like you said, baseball is a different type of sport. 2 of 3 that's big. You take 2 of 3 in a conference series, that's good. You go home feeling good. You don't feel great about a loss, yep. obviously, but you know, you win 2 of 3 games every year. You're gonna win everything
every week. Yeah.
You know, I like to see us play well. But you know, above all, man, I'm gonna say this. I'm looking at, you know, I know we have some reliable arms in the bullpen. I know that Tyler Tuttle and Quentin Martinez are reliable starters. I'd love to see an emergence of another starting pitcher to step up and show that we're deeper there and to hit the ball. I know I just gave you a lot of stuff, but let's find that third, you know, that reliable starter and friggin' hit. Let's hit. Let's score some runs. I'm waiting for that.
So Georgia Southern is 1-6 versus quadrant 1 teams and 8-2 this year against quadrant 4 teams. So what that's basically saying is
they don't beat good
bad teams. Yeah, they haven't beaten anybody good, and they've only beaten the teams they should have. I think you could almost kind of say that about us too, maybe, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
To an extent, I'm going to go pull those same numbers up for us real quick. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're very similar, considering we've had, like, you know, Wilmington and ECU.
I agree with
and,
that.
And the teams that we've, you know, lost to. So 0-4 quadrant 1, 10-2 quadrant 4.
Yeah.
Very similar for App. Yeah. So, you know, we're beating the teams we should. No huge win at this point. But, you know, we've got those opportunities coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
Sure. Certainly, which could obviously increase RPI if that comes into play this year.
Yep, for sure. Well, cool. So got Georgia Southern coming up. We'll be monitoring that. Let's stop by the softball field here for a second. Let me pull their schedule up. They've actually had a pretty good year. 13-10 Looks like 0-5 in conference play. And again, as good as the Sun Belt is in baseball, they are that and more in softball. Sun Belt softball is pretty good. We did come off yesterday with a big sweep of the Cantamounts in Cullowhee, which is always good. A little throwback, but that actually broke a 6-game skid streak there. All conference opponents there, it looks like. Yeah, all in a row. Well, there's a doubleheader there. So it's rough, but 0-5 in conference. But still, hey, man, beating Western, I'll always take a victory over the Cantamounts.
Well, yeah, that's obviously going to be good stuff, and that's our peers. But, to not really our peers, but it's an institution in North Carolina. South Alabama is 16-8. 6-0 in conference play, so some of those wins by South Alabama, there's a good losses bias, basically, if you want to get into that. So South Alabama, obviously very, very good, and then a couple of kind of closer losses to Texas State. And let me remind you, Texas State has one of the worst websites in the history of sports websites. While I scan through their softball record and get an idea of who they are. this website is awful.
So it looks like, I got it pulled up. Their softball team, are you ready? 20-3 overall.
Okay, there you go. They're good too. So
and they're 5-0 in conference. 20-3, and we drop one to them 3-4, losing one 8-3.
Look, who did they lose to?
Who they? I'm talking about we did. 20th. Who they lose to in their two games?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I'm scanning real quick. All right, they lost to Texas
1-0.
Was number seven at the time. They lost to number 16 Mississippi State.
Wow.
And I swear, if they lost to a bad game, like, I'm going to be mad.
Texas Tech,
which was receiving votes at the time. So there you go. Those are three quality
losses. I think we're saying that Texas State is good at softball. Pretty sure
they look like they're good.
Looks like they're pretty good. 20-3. Who's coming up here? Oh, I just had it pulled up. What am I doing? Okay, Georgia State. Looks like the Georgia State's coming up the mountain this weekend to play. Oh, that's a true weekend series. No doubleheaders. That's pretty cool. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have the Panthers of Georgia State heading up. We'll keep an eye on that. And we gotta talk about this for the first time since 2000. Oh, I think was Austin Trotman 2012. I think it was 2012.
Feel like it was that long ago.
It kind of does to me because I actually remember when Austin Trotman became an All-American because I remember I was in my first job, and I had a buddy that went to App together, and he was buddies with Austin Trotman. He wrestled in high school, and he was really excited about it. So it was really cool. But hey, shout out to John, right? But Jonathan Miller, Milner. Knowing James Milner, I should be able to read that a lot more cleanly there. But Jonathan Milner, All-American honor at the NCAA championships. Now, was he, what is that, the 165? Is he wrestling at 165?
Was it not 149?
149, maybe it's 149. Maybe.
But Denzel was the last All-American in 2017. Denzel Desjardins.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. I just was that first memory of when that happened when I got that. Yeah. All right. Okay. That's fair. But yeah. And then of course Denzel's in the WWE doing pro wrestling and making a name for himself. It's very, very cool. It's my dream one day to have him come on the podcast. And I don't know what kind of clearance we have to get with pro wrestling powerhouse, but that'd be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, if we couldn't get clearance from NBC.
for Josh Hunter, oh my gosh!
For Josh Hunter on The Voice, I mean, I don't know. It isn't what station is that? Is it owned by NBC as well?
It is. Like, yeah, it is.
All right, so yeah, we're gonna. if it just worked for that NBC.
Yeah, well, it airs on USA, which is owned by NBC, right? Or is that not true? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, that's one of those conglomerate channels. Yeah. I just know when. If you want to watch like curling in the Winter Olympics, you gotta flip to USA at like 3:18 in the morning. And
love curling.
By God, I will.
Love curling, man. Gotta love it. Milner clinched All-American status by beating a Duke wrestler, Josh Feinsilver, yeah. Which is actually a really funny last name, Feinsilver. That's kind of a Feinsilver. All right, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, but 149, really proud of really everybody involved in the wrestling program that has really accomplished so much. But another App State All-American, and we've kind of touched on this before. You know, we'd love to get Coach Bentley on here, but this won't surprise anybody, but App State Wrestling does so much with so little, okay? I mean, the teams we're beating and what we're accomplishing as a wrestling program with the resources that we have is really – you know, if you think we do what we do with football, which is extremely impressive, by the way, in all of our other sports, but if, you know, the highs that we reach with football, with the resources that we have, I mean, that's equally, if not more impressive with wrestling right now.
It's still, you know, rising. I mean,
you're right, correct.
Six people in the NCAA regionals last year, seven this year. Mm-hmm. Just insane. I probably watched a lot of wrestling this past weekend because it was just, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to see those events similar to the NCAA tournament and know that you've got these NCAA logos, you've got the banners and everything else in the branding and know that like you're there. And mm-hmm. It was really surreal. It's just really cool to see those A's on the TV,
yeah, man.
You know, even if it's on ESPN Plus or whatever, but kind of like, you know, walking into Assembly Hall, I'm like, this doesn't feel like I'm in Indiana. You know, I'm in Indiana. Yeah. And because you don't see like Indiana's court.
Yeah.
But you know, you're like Bobby Knight, like coached in here and all these other players.
Yeah.
But it's special. It's special for both, for both teams to be able to do that.
Yeah, it is.
Extended weekend.
Yeah, it totally is. So I just love the, like you said, man, still on the rise. Just the culture that App State Wrestling has. You know, and wrestling is not a huge sport in the South. You know, that's a Midwest, you know, Northern, you know, primary, the sport. They're, you know, that's their thing up there. I'm not saying it's not popular down here, folks, but the Southeast, we're in football, baseball territory. And so for them in App State to build such a strong culture, it's really contagious. You know, you got Jeremy Barnes, who, you know, has that the podcast The Grind, that's dedicated just to App State Wrestling. And of course, Jeremy's from he's from Michigan, you know, that's in that wrestling country, and the amount of time and energy that goes into that from that squad, it's just cool, man. I mean, it really is. You know, to celebrate the excellence that, you know, these particular programs have, I mean, it's just, you celebrate when you have it, you know, celebrate your victories when you have it. So really, really awesome. So congratulations to Coach Bentley and to John and to everybody on a great season, and look forward to, you know, here probably in the near future, talking more about App State Wrestling. Cause it's just it's a fascinating thing. I love it. I don't know much about the sport. I don't understand it as much, you know, and when I'm watching, I don't really know what I'm watching, but, I think it's great. I really do. We're going to jump in here to actually, you know what, now we're on a roll. Volleyball's playing this spring, aren't they? Isn't volleyball's playing
it? Yeah, they played a couple matches. It's been
done
a few weeks since, it's I think they played like Carolina and Duke, I think they dropped a couple games.
They got swept. Yeah,
a couple matches pretty quick, but that's experience they didn't get, you know. Those it's very important for them to be able to play. It builds into next year, and you can see improvement. So it's good for Coach Junipero and the staff to get the ladies out there and play some ball.
That's right. Okay, folks, we're going to jump into our basketball coverage here and just talk about the NCAA tournament. Charles and the infamous, I shouldn't say infamous, but Connor Coker, T Retrieval Extraordinaire. You guys traveled to Indianapolis, or I guess to Bloomington to watch our boys up there. So I want to hear about that. But, you know, with just great timing, Amy Gakins, our sponsor for basketball coverage this year, and what a year to pick. Folks, if you are in the Charlotte area and you need to buy a home from you or your family, or you need to sell your home or find a place to live, look no further than Amy Gaken. You can call or text Amy directly at 704-905-9189. Most of the Black and Gold podcast listenership comes from the Charlotte area. And so I know everyone knows Charlotte's an exploding area, a lot of construction, a lot of people moving in. It's a fast growing, area. So if you're looking to buy a home in this market, you know, it's a seller's market. Home prices are kind of high right now. You want the best value for your money. You're going to get that with somebody that knows the area as well as Amy does. And she really does. Going on 3 decades living in the area with her and her husband, Tom. Yosef Club members, alumni of App State. She loves helping fellow alumni or App State fans. You don't have to just be an alumnus. So give her a shout. You can also email her directly at agoeken, that's AGOEKEN, at myhomenorthcarolina.com, or go to AMYGOEKEN.com, amygaeken.com, and check her out. And we thank her for her basketball coverage sponsorship this year. What a great year. So, Charles, you got in the car, and you and Connor headed up to Bloomington, and you got to watch this game. I am very eager to hear more details. Obviously, we all were kind of exchanging text messages and kind of, living vicariously through you Connor Coker. Tell us about it.
So, it's weird this year because the amount of people who can come and go. You typically get a tournament. You can go watch a session, go watch a couple games. You kind of mingle around. You really were just kind of left with paying attention to the other game and like rolling up, 20 or 30 minutes before the game started. Luckily, our hotel was pretty close to the arena. And we pulled up and walked in and kind of saw a lot of basketball history and sat in some old wrought iron seats that were like World War II era kind of kind of seating. And there's a reason they call it Assembly Hall. I don't know if it was built first for basketball. I didn't look into the history of it, but it definitely had this vibe of like you're here to do other things besides play basketball. That may have been second thought there. But look, that first half was we all watched it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, I always felt like we were going to make that comeback.
Yeah,
they were hitting wild shots to an extent, and we were just not hitting anything. And, mm-hmm. and you're not going to not hit anything all game long. I mean, probably our worst half of basketball mm-hmm. In the entire season, mm-hmm. for sure. And certainly when you play in a new gym, you don't get the practices that you normally would, like if you go on the road. A lot of that plays into that. And, other teams can use the same excuse that they wanted to. But, we don't hit any three-pointers in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
We're 6 of 31 from the field, but we hit our free throws. And there's a lot of things that people could say that, if you look at the end of this game, that you could look at and say, well, this is the reason why, if you can only hit 1-3 or there's tons of stuff. I mean, you could say, well, if we had had more than just 8 second chance points on 16 offensive rebounds, that probably would have done something to that. If we didn't have a rough game from Mike Almond, he's just nothing falling for him.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the most interesting part of the game that I've mentioned to several people is, we played defense really well the entire game. We didn't foul a lot. I think we had a total of 8 fouls the entire game to Norfolk State's 14.
Yeah.
But the one that hurt was the last one.
Yeah.
Because it sent him to the free throw line.
Yep.
Which, and it was the only 2 free throws that Norfolk State shot in the second half.
Yep.
And they just happened to come at an inconvenient time to set up an offensive play. And that's what did us in. But I'll never forget the kind of experience, like what it was like to know that lots of people had their eyes on our game a little bit.
Yeah.
In that second half.
Oh, yeah.
That we felt like, I was like, we're going to make a run. It's just a matter of when does it happen? And, the thing that you'll kind of like look back and say, man, I wish we could have changed this is the fact that, we were up, 51 to 45.
Yep.
With roughly 5 minutes to go and could only score 2 more points for the rest of the game. And it kind of felt, kind of had that vibe that like Sunbelt tournament vibe that like we'd make the run, get up, and then we had to kind of hold on. But we couldn't hold on anymore. Right. They, you know, Norfolk State had probably seen that. And so they knew what to do and what not to do. And, you know, the fact that we were that close, you know, to winning a tournament game and perhaps getting throttled by Gonzaga, was tough to handle, but, you know, I love the fight, and I'll never think about this game or this season and think about this game and thinking like it was a failure.
Yeah.
Or that it was like, that's the way it ends. You know, you go to the NCAA tournament, 68 teams go, 67 teams are going to lose their last game. That's the hard pill to swallow for a lot of teams. And you see that buzzer fly at the end of games, and guys are crying for whatever reason, you know, and thinking that we had a chance, you know, we're in and we could always, there's a possibility of winning a championship. And that's why this thing is so great. Especially when you see what is unfolded in the tournament this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that had to win their tournaments to get there are now in the Sweet 16. And it's just, and it's wild. And that's why this is such a great, great event. But obviously we wish we would have played a lot better.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have taken much.
Yeah.
I think this is a building block for our future for sure.
Yeah.
This is not just, this is not an over thing. I think this certainly elevates what we can do by getting to the tournament as far as recruiting and, getting a better roster and, building what we got with Coach Kearns.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And it's interesting. You said you won't think about this season in this game and think about, you know, well, it was a failure. It was a failure to win. But you know, man, it's really, man, experiencing that first half. I think you tweeted in the second half, if I remember this right, when we were making our comeback. You said, "Were you surprised by this?" Right, as if to say, "We've done this all year. We've dug holes and gotten back out." Now you could say, and it has been frustrating to see us, you know, lack in big stretches during multiple games. You know, some offensive, you know, inefficiencies. We're just not scoring. We just had trouble scoring. And that's frustrating. But man, the fight that this team has, I mean, you can almost feel it. You know, I mean, they just won't let up. And so, you know, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the box score right now. It's in front of me. And we all can remember, you know, the scores, 36-20. You know, that 20 spot looks ugly. It looks ugly seeing your team score 20 points and a half. And we all will always remember 0-for-18 from three and clank, clank. And, you know, maybe you heard it well in Assembly Hall, but I'm telling you, on True TV, on that cable broadcast, and Brad Nessler announcing those games, you heard the clanks on the microphone when they hit every 18 shots, clank, clank. And you're like, oh, man, you know, when is this going to end? But, man, that second half, man. We held them to 18 points. So this team could have, you know, tucked tail and run, and they could have given up. But, dude, they just don't. They just don't. And they keep fighting. And think of what it takes emotionally and, you know, pair that physically to only score 20, miss all 18 of your three-point shots after, you know, being hot that last game, you know, where you're doing really well. Giving up 36 points to then saying, all right, we're going to overcome almost this completely and then hold our opponents to 2 points less than we scored in that half. And then still, they still shot. It wasn't for a really great percentage. They still shot another 18 three-pointers. So they went out there and did it. And, you know, we were 15-16 from the free throw line, which really helped us. I mean, that was keeping us competitive right there at the end, being able to hit our free throw shots. RJ Duhart, 4 blocks in this game, and he became such a defensive asset in this. And, you know, James Lewis Jr. clearly was, you know, not 100%, but, man, he made 5 of 6, Charles. And so these are the things, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, as a big man, okay? And that's not what you always expect. But, man, when I just think the character of this team is, hey, man, things aren't working out, but we're going to find a way to do it. I think that's the character of the team. That's something that Coach Kearns talks about a lot. It was not our best game. There were, you know, especially that final shot. I don't believe that was a designed three with 5 seconds left. I think somebody did something wrong on that last play. I just have a really tough time believing.
It's possible that Norfolk State played great defense too. I mean,
they
were also there. There's a reason, you know.
Correct. Yeah,
we had some good looks.
Yeah,
but. You know, you don't shoot 6 of 36 by accident.
Right. Yeah, you're right, right, right. No, you're right. So regardless, you know, just to see our team. And here's the other thing, kind of a side note, kind of a cultural note. DJ kind of mentioned this too. I mean, how many text messages have we received and how many App State conversations have we had that we don't normally have with certain people? At my office, there were a couple of people saying, "Hey, man, you got App State playing tonight." And how, what a cool thing that is to be part of this wider, you know, national event for sports fans everywhere. Just really cool, man. Just really awesome. So that being said, I really enjoyed last year, going from a team that went from 15 wins, 500 in conference, to thinking, oh man, you know, maybe next year is the year we're actually gonna have a winning team and we'll actually be a threat in the Sun Belt, to then winning 11 games and winning 4 games in conference. So last year was breaking from that. And, you know, I think we won 18 games last year, I think, right? We won 18 games.
Yeah, 18 and 15.
So we got our butts kicked by Texas State in the conference, you know, tournament there at the end. But, man, seeing a competitive basketball team for the first time was great. This year, I will remember this year as a team that really fought to come back from experiences that no team has been through before with that COVID delay, which basically delayed us by 3 weeks, 2 weeks of no practice, and how that really impacted us. For us to pick ourselves up from losing six of our 7 last games to then winning the tournament and then coming within just a shot of moving on in the tournament, this year was extra special for me. I know it was for you, but do you have any comparisons or how you're thinking about year two of the Kearns era?
There's not really anything to compare to, I believe, in our history.
Yeah.
Buzz had to kind of work his way up.
Yeah.
To get into the tournament, and the same with Bobby Crimmins.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see what this bump does, because not in the modern era, at least not in my lifetime, or and fingers crossed on this, because you know how things go.
Mm-hmm.
You would expect that, you know, that Coach Kearns gets to stick around and hopefully we can keep him. And that's something we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And because what happened after Buzz left, after the 99-2000 season was, you know, a lot of things went down. And I don't think that you're going to see that replicated again, good or bad. You're probably going to have a little bit more stability here. Mainly because Buzz had been working his way up toward that moment and finally got there, and people already had his eyes on him, and they were just kind of like waiting for him to, you know, get over the hump. And maybe people will say we're a little bit ahead of schedule with what we've done, but and maybe those suitors would say, you know, if we're looking at hiring a new up and coming coach, that they want to see more, and we get to keep Coach Kearns for a few more years. But that's kind of how this talk kind of always evolves, because eventually, if you're good, you know, you're going to get hired or fired, you're right? And so mm-hmm. you're trending towards, the more positive part for us in as far as program building. So, next year is when we got to capitalize. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, rosters turn over a little bit, and there's transfer portals, and we'll see if someone takes a COVID year and comes back for their sixth or season, and we'll see what comes in over the summer as far as other transfers that may come in,
yeah,
and other recruits, and see how everybody meshes and see how they play,
yeah.
Coach Kearns said it last a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, we talked to him a lot. He's like, I don't love playing the way that we're having to play, so how will we be different? I think is the key. Is what does App State basketball look like next year, while building and kind of looking to get better every day? And how does the offensive philosophy change, and with what we're able to do with who we have,
right?
And I think that's just something cool to see evolve. I mean, you got a guy like a senior like a Justin Forrest. I mean, you in who's been with the program his entire career. You can kind of relate that to kind of like, you know, point guard quarterback kind of like comparison here, and you have errors of players. And you can say you can use the Ronchot era from previous to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you do with what you had?
Yeah.
And, you know, Justin Forrest went from kind of a undersized to expecting to be like this, like kind of a, the star of a team to more of a team player and buying into what Coach Kearns is and those guys wanted to do. So, really adapted to two different coaches. I think that's difficult and didn't leave. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he's to be commended for that. I think that is what changes the attitude about what App State basketball is about, because nowadays when coaches get fired, people, they leave, you know, and then they have a coaching change and they go play somewhere else so they can go play.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new guy is going to come bring in his dudes and try to get things fixed, because the reason he's being hired in the first place is to fix it. And it's a lot easier to hire it with the people you like versus people you don't know. So there's a lot to be said about what Coach Kearns did. You know, obviously there's a little bit of turnover, but he took some guys that weren't his and made them his.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, and I do think that you got to give a lot of credit to the dudes that he didn't recruit. And, you know, it's a balance. You know, if they didn't play the way he wanted, they got benched. You know, we saw Justin Forrest benched a lot last year and earlier this season, but a lot more last year for not playing the way that the team needed him to play. You know, and you saw that almost went away in conference play this year. And you know, things like that, man, that's the kind of growth I like to see. One thing that I do think is going to be really interesting is the cultural part, the fans in the stands. You know, obviously there's a buzz of, you know, pardon the pun, of enthusiasm right now because, hey, you know, it's sexy to be in. Hey, and jump on the bandwagon, folks. I mean, we've been here. We're happy to see more people on the App State bandwagon, App State basketball bandwagon. But next year, how does this become a family event? You know, when I say family, I mean the App State family, right? When you get here and you're just happy to be there, you're happy to see them, to celebrate the success. And we talked about that a little bit. You know, it was a bummer seeing our out of conference schedule go from pretty good to like St. Andrew. We don't think we played St. Andrews. You know, Carolina Wesleyan and whatever.
Yeah, teams like that.
Yeah. And we look, the logic has been out there, you know, even though I don't buy that we had to play all those games, but I do understand, like, hey, why would you burn, like, for example, here's a great example, ETSU. If we had one shot at starting a series with ETSU and we had to, you know, we had to pick it this year or that next year, you got to put it next year because that's a huge game. So, like, I understand decisions like that, but, you know, the strides we're making on the court, on the box score, winning games, making noise, being competitive where we need to be competitive, and frankly, just overcoming. Don't you think that could probably be used as a theme for this year? Overcoming obstacles, overcoming a 22-point deficit with 15 minutes left, overcoming a near 7-game losing streak, you know, overcoming overtime. I mean, this team has fought back to overcome and learned how to do it. So next year, you know, hey, let's see what happens. Is Justin Forrest going to come back? Hopefully, it wouldn't surprise me. Is Mike Almonte going to come back? Hopefully, wouldn't surprise me. We just don't know those things. But man, this could really, it could be going from, hey, we need to overcome, we need to come from behind, we need to keep fighting, to maybe we're not playing from behind all the time. Maybe we're not playing those tight games. Maybe we're in control of more games than we have been. I mean, maybe that's that next step. I don't know. But the future's bright. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm going to throw this year of scheduling away. Just kind of, I get it. But
yeah,
what really excites me is being able to hopefully be in the home center next year with everyone in there and have that buzz, because I would really – you know, I hate that, you know, at any point in the year, you probably didn't think NCAA tournament's a possibility. You could said we have the ability to win the tournament. Like,
yeah,
like we have the ability to compete. We're not the cellar dweller anymore. We're not the bottom. And we can beat anyone in this conference at any given point in time. And we can play these games where we have these comebacks. And it became more of the norm than the exception, you know? So how, you know, I just want to see that carry over. I want to see the home center going nuts when we go on a 10-0 run in the second half to you know, hit a big three or something like that. And win a game and win big games and play big opponents. And yeah, that's going to be the key. So it's scheduled next year will obviously look a lot better. And I feel like we have reason to believe that we'll probably be all snug in together watching a game with as many people in there as they'll let us, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool to see that the home center consistently, you know, say packed because, but with higher attendance and people watching basketball and being involved in
yeah.
it and really taking an effort to really follow the team and follow the game and
yes.
what's going on on the
court. And to react to it and to be invested in it. And that's where I think I mentioned this on the last episode. I'm pretty sure I did. Is like, I'm really happy that Student Yosef Club right now and their student president, Susie Kanabi, and the students there that, you know, showed up all rowdy, you know, at the parade, and they're posting pictures. They're making – they're unapologetically App State through and through as students. It's one thing for a couple of fanboys to do a podcast and go take care of our kids and work our 9-to-5s and then go to games. It's another thing to be on campus taking classes, you know, walking past the basketball players, you know, grabbing something at the cafeteria and running into the student section, right? I mean, that's a different energy that, like, I can't supply, you know, you can't supply. We can't do it, but the people on campus need to be sold out, or it needs to be contagious. And I think right now, there's a core group of students there that are showing the enthusiasm that just becomes, you know, contagious to act silly and to kind of be sold out, you know, and act ridiculous. And that stuff catches on.
And that's a great thing because, yeah. you know, one person does it. The next person says, I can get away with it. And
yeah.
the next game, they're like, oh, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
You know, that looks like they look like they're having fun.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and I want to have fun.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, big onus on that, you know, home court advantage was non-existent this year. Besides the other team having to travel,
yeah.
Hopefully next year that will become more of a regular thing.
Yeah, hopefully so. So it looks like, yeah. I was just thinking about like home court and stuff. That deal that we made with Auburn, Auburn's coming up not this basketball season, but next 2022-23. We've already gone down there, and then we're going back down there again, 23-24. Okay. So I was thinking that we had. But I think we got ETSU. Anyway, I you know what's funny? I can't remember who I saw it on Twitter, but somebody posted a video, I think, of a Xavion Brown dunking, like doing like a slam dunk contest type, like bounce it and chase it up, just slam it home, saying, hey, is it November yet? I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, the buzz is still there, man. Again, pardon the pun, but pretty incredible. Hey, you know, we didn't mention, posted this on the Twitters and on Facebook and everything else, but, you know, we had this raffle. We had this raffle for a ball signed by the team. And, you know, shout out to Brad Fay for helping me get that ball signed. We raised $1,919.95 for Yosef Club. A lot of 19s, a lot of 9s. Many of you maybe saw the video clip that we posted of the drawing, but for those of you that didn't watch our video that want to know, like, hey, how did that raffle turn out? We did the drawing on actually Wednesday and announced the drawing on Thursday right before tip-off. And shout out to Scott Andrews for – I don't know if he's got the ball yet. It's in the mail. He either has it or, you know, it's in a mail sorter somewhere. But yeah, Scott Andrews, I think out of Concord, I'm pretty sure that's where he said he lived. Pretty sure that's where I shipped it. He won. So Charles, it was a successful raffle and we got a happy App State basketball fan. And, I don't know. These things are fun.
No, they're fun. I'm glad, guy would get some money in the USF coffers. I think that's the big thing, get people excited about basketball. And hopefully we helped a little bit, not getting up patting ourselves back too much there.
Yeah.
But really cool thing. Really neat to see a lot of people, you know, buy raffle tickets. I knew how many people were going to buy a raffle ticket, but I would say that, what was it, 95?
95. There were 95 raffle tickets.
I was like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool.
So pretty stoked about that.
Yeah. I will share the story of, I called Scott, and Scott says he, oh, what is that? What's that noise?
That's autoplay on the computer.
Is that me? Oh,
That was all me.
Oh, it was you. Yeah, it's okay. I'm glad it's not me for a while. I'm glad it's not me. No, so I called Scott right before I posted the video of the drawing and announced, hey, you know, Scott Andrews. I called Scott and left him a voicemail. I said, hey, it's Alex Johnson with the Black and Gold Podcast. I want to let you know, you bought this raffle ticket. Well, you won. Congratulations. You know, give me a call. And I want to make sure that I got this address correct so I can send it to you. And he never called back. So I just never heard back from him. I thought, well, I mean, this guy put me a – I don't even think he said Scott Andrews on his voicemail. He just said, hey, leave me a message. So I called back the next day. You know, after, of course, we had played and lost, of course. And he answered. He said, hello. I said, hey, is this Scott? He said, yeah. I said, hey, Scott, this is Alex Johnson with the Blind Goal Podcast. And he said, what? I said, hey, the podcast, you bought the raffle ticket for the basketball? He goes, yeah. I said, well, you won. And I'm not going to quote him exactly, but he said, are you kidding me? He said, is this April Fool's? Is this an April Fool's prank? I said, well, it's not April. So, no, you got it. He's like, I've never won anything in my life. I can't believe it. I'm going to call everybody and tell them that I won something. So Scott's got according to him, he's got an App State man cave, and he's got something signed by Armani Edwards, and he's going to put the ball up on a mantle somewhere. Really cool stuff, man. Just, you know, again, capitalizing on the enthusiasm that we all have for App State basketball right now. So it's really awesome. Great season. Really proud of our players. You know, we've come a long way. And I think, and you tell me what you think, Charles. I think my favorite part is, you know, somebody that's, you know, you and I have been covering this very, very closely, you know, doing the podcast. We would anyway, but even more so with the podcast. I think my favorite part of this season has been the fact that we've had another sport to latch on to and to cheer on and to have, like, you know, hopes and aspirations for, like, more and bigger wins and championships after football season. That has been a relief, you know, because we have not had that until really last year. You say last year, but this year, really. And that's been really cool.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Sun Belt tournament, that was a historical run. It's a hard thing to do that. Winning the tournament, being the Sun Belt's representative in this NCAA tournament, that's just massive to me. You know, it's only happened three times in this school's history for a reason. We all know those numbers. We all can recite those stats over and over. And you know, just I'm happy that I got to see another one, and it just makes me thirstier for the next one, and hoping that it's not 21 years away. Hoping that it's just next year, the year after, or whatever.
Yep.
But maybe this becomes more of something that we can be more disappointed about if it doesn't happen versus just saying it's the same old. You know what I mean? I think that's, you know, that's what makes winning so great is being close and having your heart broken and things of that nature. So I love it. Never forget it. And I'm looking forward to the next season for sure.
100%. All right, folks. Well, that does it for this episode of the Black and Gold Podcast. Just really fun to kind of reminisce and wrap up basketball season. Really want to talk to these seniors. It's going to be interesting because, you know, last year we had the basketball seniors on, and that was great. But with the new COVID rules, we don't know if these guys are going to come back or not. So we're going to see how that works. But regardless, proud, happy, got more baseball content and coverage for next week, but an exciting end to the season. So until next week, as always, go Apps.